One says this, "It is altogether doubtful whether any man can be born again who comes to Christ for his help with no intention to obey him." The attack against Christianity today, the compromise of it, I would say it could perhaps be best summarized, best described this way. It's a Christianity that wants Jesus the Savior, doesn't want Jesus the Lord. He'll save me from my sin. He'll save me from death, hell, and the grave. He'll save me from my sickness. He'll save me from my lack. He'll save me from my trouble. Yes, of course, everyone wants that Jesus. But the Lord, the one whose command I will obey, no, we don't really want that. We want the Savior, we want the Helper, we want the Rescuer. We don't want the one that interferes in our life. Tells us that thing we want to do, we can't do that. Tells us that thing we don't want to do, we have to do that. We want to be born again, we want to come to Christ for His help, but with no intention of obeying Him, this is my friend, my brother, my sister, it doesn't work that way. Altogether doubtful, listen, forget that. It's impossible. Savior apart from Lord, a claim to salvation, being born again apart from obedience. That's the attack. That's the compromise. And so then our decision in our declaration today, salvation apart from lordship? No, no way. Not here, not in this place, not in my life. Savior, apart from Lord, a claim to salvation, being born again, apart from obedience. That's the attack. That's the compromise. And so that's the thing we fight today. The true Christianity, built according to code, with the right building materials, the storm-proofing building materials, the storm-withstanding foundation, the true Christianity, not the fake, not the false, not the compromise, not the dead faith that doesn't save, not the Christianity that is no Christianity at all. No, the real, the true, the Christianity that passes the test, the Christianity that is correctly calibrated, a biblical worldview, what the Bible says, the ABCs of Christianity, back to the very basics, if you will, the ancient path where the good and right way is the truth. Listen, we are born again. We must be. We come to Jesus, we turn to Him so that He can be our Savior. We need His help. We desperately need it, and we want it. We come to Jesus, we turn to Him as Savior. Listen now, and as Lord. We will gladly receive His saving work, and we will freely invite and welcome and permit Him to interfere in anything and everything of our lives. We have every intention of obeying Him. Listen, every command we must obey. We will obey. This morning, the obedience. Let me share with you just a few things. First, the motivation of obedience. John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me." Verse 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, "We know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands." This is love for God, to obey his commands. The motivation of obedience clearly defined for us in Scripture. It's love. Scripture makes it abundantly clear. Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Obedience, or the lack thereof, is all about our love for Him. It's all about our relationship with Jesus, our love relationship with Him. That's the real issue of obedience. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? No wonder then the motivation for obedience, the heart of obedience, it is to love Him. It is to know Him. I believe this is true, though it might sound odd to hear. If you're obeying the Lord, if you're obeying His word, if you're obeying His laws, if you're obeying His commands, out of any other motive than a love for Him, you're obeying Him wrong. You're obeying Him the wrong way. Consider that from this perspective, one that likely all of us would understand. Some people obey because they feel that makes them right with God. I have to follow all the rules. I have to obey all the commands so God can then love me and God can accept me so that I can be saved then and make it to heaven. In effect, saying Jesus, His sacrifice, His death at Calvary, that's not enough. That's maybe where salvation begins, but that's not all. I've got to do all that's on the list so that I can be loved, so that I can be accepted, so that I can be saved. All of us would understand. That's wrong. That thinking is wrong. That kind of obedience is wrong. It's done out of the wrong motive. Scripture is clear. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, not by works. It's a gift of God, a gift from God. Scripture is clear. What Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, it's enough. Hallelujah! It's enough, more than enough. We don't obey Him so that He'd love us. We don't obey Him so that He'd accept us, so that He'd save us. We obey Him because we know Him. We obey Him because we love Him. I believe this is also true, though it might be hard to hear. Here's what we tend to do, what we do all too often. We link our disobedience to other things. God wants us reading the Word. God wants us studying the Word. God wants us spending time in prayer. We're not, though. And what do we tend to do? We blame that on our lack of discipline. We're just not good managing our time, creating margins for the Word, for prayer. We lack the discipline to get up early, turn the TV off, put aside the phone. Our response to our disobedience, well, I lack self-discipline. I need more self-discipline. But the problem with that response, that's not what the Bible says. John 14, the truth. Your obedience is linked to your love for Jesus. If you love Him, you obey Him. That's what Jesus said. Do you understand that? What you need is not more self-discipline. What you need is more love for Jesus. 1 John 2, the truth, your obedience is linked to knowing Jesus. Once more, you'd understand it. What you need is not more self-discipline. What you need is to know Him more, to know Him better. God wants us active and involved, serving, helping, ministering. We're not doing that, though. And what do we tend to do? We blame our calendar. We're just too busy. We'll obey when we're not so busy, when the calendar clears. The problem with that, it's not a calendar problem. John 14, 1 John 2, the truth. You don't need less on your calendar. You need more love for Jesus. You need to know Him more and better. God wants us reaching out to people. He's always nudging. He's always prompting us. Share your faith with them. Tell them about Me. Invite them to church. Go and pray for them. Go and help them. Go and speak this word of encouragement to them. We're not doing that, though. And what do? We blame our lack of experience, our courage. We're just too uncomfortable, too afraid to do any of that. I felt God wanted me to share my faith with the waitress, but I didn't. because I was afraid. I felt God wanted me to pray for the lady at the grocery store, but I didn't. I didn't obey. I felt so awkward. I felt so uncomfortable going to a complete stranger to pray for them. I felt God wanted me to start a spiritual conversation with my buddy at work. I can't do that. I've never done that before. No way am I any good at that. What if it goes bad? What if you ask a question I don't have the answer for? What if I stumble all over myself? I'm not very good with my words after all. I didn't do it. I didn't obey. My lack of experience, my lack of courage, my paralyzing fear, that's the problem. I'll work on that. I'll get better with that. I'll do better then at obeying Him. But the problem with that, that's not the problem. John 14, 1 John 2, the truth. Obedience has nothing to do with your experience, your courage, your fear. It's about loving Him. It's about knowing Him. God calls us into the unknown, out of our comfort zone, what we know and are familiar with. God calls us into something that we've never done before, a place we've never been before, and we don't like that. So we tell Him no. He calls, we don't answer. And what we think, I need to work on trusting Jesus more. If I learn to trust Him more and better, I can more easily follow Him into that unknown, into that unfamiliar, that uncomfortable thing. One last time, you know it. The problem with that, that's not the problem. John 14, 1 John 2, the truth. It's not that you don't trust Him enough. It's that you don't love Him enough. It's that you don't know Him like you should. In the end, we're not obeying God like we should, and we're blaming that on everything that it's not. And maybe this is the real issue. The result of that, we make light of our disobedience. It's just a discipline issue. I'll be more disciplined at some point. I'll do better at obeying Him then. It's just my time, my calendar, my schedule. I'm just too busy. I won't always be this busy. I'll obey God then. We could disobey God. Oh, but that's just a fear thing. I was just scared. That's not so bad, is it? Doesn't everybody get scared after all? Oh, you were afraid? Oh, I'm sure God understands and it's okay. And wow, haven't we all been afraid? I didn't know what I was doing. I'll know more someday. I'll be able to do more then. I'll obey Him more and better then. I just felt weird. It was such an awkward experience, such an awkward occasion. I feel so inept, so unsure in doing it. I just felt so, so uncomfortable. We can disobey God. Oh, I just need to trust Him more. Jesus was asking a hard thing, a walk by faith kind of thing. I'll learn to trust Him. I'll eventually get there. I'll do better then. I'll obey Him then. But listen to me this morning. That's a deception. Listen, that's a lie. That's not the truth. That's the compromise. Hear me closely this morning. Let me say it simply. That's wrong. It's not more discipline you need, not according to Scripture. That's not the problem. That's not the thing you need to be blaming for your disobedience. It's not more time that you need or even less busy that you need to be. It's not more courage. It's not more confidence. It's not more ability. It's not more experience. Your disobedience is not to be linked to nor to be blamed on those things. Jesus says it. John writes it. Scripture is clear on it. Our disobedience is only explained by our lack of love. If we love Him, we obey Him. If we disobey Him, it's because we don't love Him. We don't love Him. We don't know Him like we should. One says this, if my relationship to the Lord is that of love, I will do what He says. If I hesitate, it is because I love someone I have placed in competition with Him, namely myself. Do you understand this morning the motivation, the very heart of obedience, knowing Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, loving Jesus? This is why obedience is so important. This is why obedience is so absolutely necessary, mandatory. This is why obedience must absolutely be prioritized in our lives. This is why we must not grow comfortable in disobedience. Not ever, no matter how fancy or good sounding our excuses might be. Claiming a love for Him, a relationship with Him while living in disobedience to Him. My brother, my sister, listen, that's not an option. The Bible says love and obedience are inseparably linked. If you love him, you obey him. If you don't obey him, your problem is a loved one, not an anything else one. This morning, in light of that, I don't ask you how you're doing obeying the Lord. I don't ask you if there's areas of disobedience that you need to address and fix. Not that, not yet. Instead, I ask you this: how's your relationship with Jesus? How are you doing knowing him? How are you doing loving him? And listen, your answer, it doesn't really come from the words of your lips. It comes from the activity of your life. Do you know him? Do you love him? You don't really have to say anything. Your life of obedience or disobedience will reveal your answer. Listen, be careful of obeying him out of any motive other than love. Be careful of disobeying him with any excuse other than a lack of love. This morning, the message, obedience. Before anything else, listen, get the motivation right. Get your heart right, set on him, on Jesus, knowing him more and better, loving him more and better. The motivation, it's love. Second, this morning, we'll call this the start of obedience. It's to listen. Peter Marshall was from Coatbridge, Scotland. He immigrated to the United States in 1927. He pastored a number of churches, ultimately served as Senate chaplain from 1947 to 1949. When he was a young man still in Scotland, Marshall was walking home across the moors on a pitch black, foggy night. He took a shortcut, wandered dangerously close to the edge of a deep, abandoned limestone quarry. Suddenly, an urgent voice called out his name, Peter. He stopped, called out in response, but received no answer. He took a few more steps and heard the voice call out to him a second time, this time with an even greater urgency. Marshall stopped, stumbled, and fell to his knees. Reaching forward to push himself up, his hand touched nothing but air. He was literally at the very edge of the precipice. Had he taken one more step, it would have meant certain death. Marshall believed this mysterious voice was a direct intervention from God to save his life and redirect his path. It brought a spiritual awakening to the young man and a dedication of his life to ministry. God was calling. Peter was listening. And his life was forever changed. And not just his life, but the countless that he ministered to while pastoring. And even the highest leaders of the land under his Senate chaplaincy. The truth this morning, the Lord is always speaking, revealing to you more and more of himself. Listen, he wants you to know him. He wants you to believe in him, have trust in him, have faith in him. So he's always speaking to you, that you might know him more and more, that you might know him better and better, and by that you might then love him more and more and better, and obey him and trust him and believe in him and have faith in him more and more and better. The truth this morning, the Lord is always speaking, commissioning you to the work of his ministry. Listen, he wants to use you, my brother. He wants to use you, my sister, in your home, among your family and friends, in your neighborhood, in your work, at the grocery store, right here in church, with your brother and your sister, the Lord speaking to you, what he would have you to say to them, how he would have you to help them, encourage them, be a blessing to them. The truth this morning, the Lord is always speaking, making known to us what's inside us, what needs to change, what needs to be different. Always speaking so that he might always be growing you in your faith. Always speaking so that he might always be moving you in the direction of spiritual maturity. Always speaking so that he can reveal to you the things that don't belong. Always speaking so that he can reveal to you the things that do. Maybe you're inclined to gossip. Maybe you gossip too much, too often. Listen, the Lord's speaking, letting you to know that's not right. Maybe you used to be a gossiper, but you're not anymore. Maybe the Lord's still speaking. You don't talk bad about them, but nor do you ever pray for them. He's calling you to a life of intercession. Do you understand? The Lord is speaking, always speaking, the things that have to be out, the things that need to be in your life. The truth this morning, the Lord's always speaking. I believe it right now. You sense it. You know it. The Lord's speaking to you. Hey, what the pastor is talking about. You've been hearing my still small voice, the nudging, the prompting. You've been pushing that aside, thinking it to be nothing, but you're hearing it now. What the preacher is saying, that's my voice. I'm speaking to you. I've been speaking to you all along. I'm always speaking to you. Maybe you didn't know it was me. Maybe you didn't want to believe it was me. That's my voice. Listen to my voice. Don't ever push aside my voice. Don't ever ignore it or neglect it. The truth this morning, the Lord is always speaking. He's speaking to you by way of His Word. Listen, my brother, my sister, be careful of reading His Word, but missing His voice. You read the Bible this last week. You did. Surely you did. Please tell your pastor you did at least a little bit. You read the Bible this last week. Listen, He was speaking. Did you hear Him? Did you hear what He was saying to you by way of His Word? Did you hear Him as He was telling you what you now need to do with the Word that you just read? He's speaking to you in prayer. One writes this, prayer involves an odd paradox in our day. Almost everyone talks to God. Newsweek magazine noted that in a recent survey, more Americans said they pray in a given week than they exercise or even work. Of the 13% of Americans who claim to be atheist or agnostic, 1 in 5 of them prays daily. So why are we so often ambivalent about the notion of God talking to us? One recalls Lily Tomlin's line in the play, The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe. Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we are said to be schizophrenic? If I am to have a relationship with God that is in any sense personal, I must be open to the possibility that sometimes God does speak to me directly. Listen to this. Why should God's end of the line be equipped with the receiver, but no mouthpiece? The Lord is speaking. My brother, my sister, He's speaking to you in prayer. He's speaking to you by the circumstances of your life, His providence, His activity, His guiding and leading you. He's speaking to you by the voice of His Spirit, the nudging, the prompting of His Spirit. He's speaking to you by way of the worship song in the midst of your worship. He's speaking to you right now by way of a Sunday morning message. Can I challenge you? Listen, don't come to church to get your spiritual ticket punched, as it were. Yes, I was there. I showed up. I did my spiritual duty. That's maybe the worst thing. Listen, come to church to hear the voice of the Lord. You come to fellowship, that's good. You come to worship, that's good. But listen, more than the rest, more than anything else, you need to come to hear from Him. Full disclosure, just the real talk this morning. Some, I think, have a tendency to get confused. It's the Sunday morning message, the Lord speaking to His people. Some are inclined to think it's art class. Before the message is over, no sermon notes, but a doodling masterpiece. Some think it's nap time. Watch out now. Don't sleep well enough at home. Need this time to catch up on your rest. Take your best nap. By way of His Word, the Lord is speaking right here, right now to each one. But some of us are playing out and playing through 1,000 different conversations. Things that they said, things that we said, things that we wish we would have said, things that we want to say and plan to say when that conversation happens. We have a movie script worth of dialogue, thought up and written up, but no idea what the Lord has said. The Lord is speaking this morning. Some of us too busy planning out our week ahead. We're doing it in our head. We're doing it on paper. We're going to be good to go for the week to come. But the Lord was speaking. We're not going to have heard what He said. Listen, you're going to think this to sound weird and maybe even wrong. It's neither. We get our Bible reading done. Listen, I'm going to say it. This isn't Bible reading time. This is about to get worse. I'm going to say it. This isn't prayer time. Prayer is you talking. This isn't the time for talking. Listen, with all due respect, my brother, my sister, be quiet. The Lord's speaking. It's time for you to listen. You think you're doing the church a favor while praying when God's talking? No, no way. You'll do the church a favor by hearing what the Lord is saying, responding rightly to it, obeying Him in it. This isn't the time for worship. The Lord's talking and you're drowning out His voice with your worship. You think that's a good thing. Listen, it's not a good thing. Try that with your spouse. Every time your spouse tries to talk, don't let them say a word. You drown it all out with your words of love and affirmation. Try that with your boss. Every time he tries to give you instruction, oh, no, 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 boss, no, boss, no instruction. I just want to tell you how great it is to work for you. No, I don't want to hear what you have to say. No, I don't want to hear what my job list is for the day. I just want to tell you. No, 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 you stop talking. Let me just tell you how great you are. Listen, you know, I'm not being rude or mean. My brother, my sister, listen, be quiet. The Lord's speaking. Let Him speak. You listen. Here it is, and surely you understand the truth. The Lord is always speaking. He's always speaking to you. So then you understand. Listen. My brother, my sister, listen. How can you ever hear Him if you don't listen to Him? And here it is. How can you ever obey Him if you don't ever hear Him? Listen, quiet your mouth, quiet your heart, quiet your mind, and listen for and to the voice of the Lord. It's the start of obedience. You'll never get obedience right if you can't get listening right. If you can't learn what it is to quiet yourself before the Lord, to hear what He has to say. The word obedience comes from a Latin word which means to listen with great attentiveness. The Latin word for deaf is surdus. To be completely deaf is to be absurdus, which is where we get the word absurd. Completely unreasonable, illogical, ridiculous to the point of being laughably foolish. Do you understand? That's what it is when you don't listen. When God is speaking, and He always is, but your ear is completely deaf to His voice. No matter what you claim, no matter how you spin it, listen, it's absurd. My brother, my sister, listen to your pastor this morning. Don't be absurd. A missionary translator was endeavoring to find a word for obedience in the native language of the people that he served. This was a virtue seldom practiced among the people into whose language he wanted to translate the New Testament. As he returned home from the village one day, he whistled for his dog and it came running at full speed. An old native, seeing this, said admiringly in the native tongue, "Your dog is all ear." Immediately the missionary knew he had his word for obedience. My brother, my sister, be all ear. E. Stanley Jones is recognized as one of the most influential missionaries of the 20th century. He served in India, went in 1907 when he was just 23 years old. He tells of a time he was about to board a plane, and he says, "I heard God speak to me and say, do not get on that airplane." He later learned that the plane that he was supposed to get on crashed, and there were no survivors. When he shared this experience with another, they responded, "You mean to say that you were the only one God spoke to? The only one God told to not get on that plane?" E. Stanley Jones responded, "By no means, but it is possible I was the only one listening." Listen, my brother, my sister, don't miss His voice. Don't miss the opportunity to obey for reason of not listening. Distraction that deafens your ear to His voice. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen. Listen in here. Listen whenever you open the Word or the Word is open before you. Listen in prayer. Listen in worship. Listen in your car. Listen at work. Listen at the grocery store. The Lord is speaking. He's speaking to you. And you can't obey Him if you can't hear Him. But listen, you must obey Him. So hear Him. Listen to Him. It's the start of obedience, the motivation, the start. Third, this morning, we'll call it this, the act of obedience. It's to obey. I don't want to just be listening. Listen, I can't be content with just listening. I need to listen and obey. One says this, obedience is doing God's will, God's way, and God's timing. Or in other words, obedience means that you do what God says, when he says it, and how he says it. Listen, no editing allowed. Not to our own taste, not to our own liking, certainly not to the opinion of culture. Obey him. Obey what the Lord says to you by way of his word. My brother, my sister, you read his word. Obey his word. James chapter 1, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be doers of the word. If we ever are content with an obedience apart from the word, according then to the word, we deceive ourselves. I was thinking of that in this context. You know, the devil, he's a liar and a deceiver. Really, then this, we do his work for him when we listen to the word but don't do it. We deceive ourselves. Don't do that. Be doers of the word. Obey the word. Obey him. Obey his voice. In John chapter 2, Jesus is at the wedding in Cana. His mother Mary is there as well. The wine runs out. She tells him, and then she tells the servants, whatever he tells you, do it. Listen, here in Mary's instruction today, obey him. Obey his voice like this. Whatever he tells you, whatever you hear from him, do that. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus is standing by the lake. He teaches from one of the boats and then tells one of the fishermen, let's let out the nets. It's Peter that Jesus is talking to. And Peter had been fishing all night, the best time to catch fish. He'd caught nothing. And now this instruction, the daytime, not good fishing time. He's not wanting to let out the nets. Peter responds, Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. Listen, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. They caught such a large number of fish. When they did that, the nets began to break. They needed help from another boat, and both boats nearly sank because of all the fish. Listen, let your obedience be defined not by having thought it all out, trying to figure it all out. No, have an obedience that needs only one thing, because he said so. Jesus, because you say so, I'll do it. I'll get involved. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll give. I'll help. Because you say so, I'll do whatever it is you've said. I will obey. Obey his spirit. Be sensitive. Be attentive to the Spirit's promptings in your heart and life. The Spirit wants to use you to bring Jesus to the lives of others, to bring joy and encouragement, hope, comfort to others that are missing all of that. Be sensitive, be attentive, so that when he calls you, wanting to use you, you can hear him, you can obey him. Obey his commands. Obey his commands to be like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, we know that we've come to know him if we obey him. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth's not in him. But if anyone does his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Find the difference between you and the Lord. Find the difference in how he responded to the commands of the Father and how you respond. Find the difference in how Jesus treated people and how you treat people. Find the difference in how Jesus acted and reacted under pressure and how you act and react. Find the difference in all that Jesus said and did and all that you say and do. Find the difference between you and the Lord. And what John tells us in finding, in identifying those things, you will have identified the areas of disobedience in your life. And then in connecting those things to a disobedience, we correct those things to move them to obedience. And in doing that, in bridging the gap between you and Jesus, you will do what he commands. You will obey him. And the truth then will be in you. And God's love then will be made complete in you as you live in him, as you walk as Jesus walked, as you obey as Jesus obeyed. Obey his commands to love people, to accept one another, to be devoted to one another, to serve one another, to submit to one another, honor one another, to encourage one another, to carry one another's burdens, to forgive one another, to spur one another on to love and to good works. Obey his commands to go and make disciples, to go and rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Obey him. Listen, obey him instantly. Listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. My brother, my sister, don't delay. Psalm 119 and verse 60, without any hesitation, I hurry to obey your commandments. Obey him instantly. Obey him unconditionally. Never let your understanding or lack thereof, never let your concern for the outcome in any situation. Listen, never let anything compromise your obedience to the Lord. Listen, you already know it's true. Sometimes, even a lot of times, God asks you to do what we don't understand. God asks us to do what we can't make sense of. He asks us to do what we've never done before, don't feel qualified or comfortable doing. Sometimes, even a lot of times, God asks us to do the impossible. Asks us to do what we can't possibly imagine ourselves doing, at least doing successfully. Like Noah, he might tell you to prepare for a flood before you even know what rain is. Like Abraham, he might tell you to go before he even tells you where you're going. Like Gideon, he might tell you that your army that's outnumbered nearly 500 to 1 is too big. Like the wedding servants, he might tell you to fill the jars with water and serve it as the best wine. Like the disciples, he might tell you to start serving the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like Peter, he might tell you to go get your temple tax from the mouth of the next fish that you catch. He might even tell you to get out of the boat and walk with him on water. Like Mary, he might tell you the power of the Most High is about to reside inside of you, overshadow you. Something impossible, something miraculous, something divine. Divine happening like Jairus. He might tell you that what's died is not really dead, but just sleeping like Mary and Martha. He might tell you to take the stone away because what's been inside there for 4 days is about to come out and breathe again. Listen, even in that, in all that, obey him. Obey him sacrificially. Obey God no matter what it costs you. I love the stories, missionaries from years gone by felt called of God to where they were told, you ought not to go because you might never come back. To that, their reply, he has not called me to come back, only to go. And so they went, and some never came back. They seeded the spiritual soil of their countries with their blood. Obey him. No matter what it costs, even though it costs you dearly, obey him wholeheartedly. Obey him completely. Listen, partial obedience is disobedience. Don't do it. Don't do only part of what he tells you to do. Obey him completely. Obey him joyfully, without murmuring, without complaint. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45, all these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Love him and know him. More and better do both and listen to him so that you can obey him. His word, his commands, his voice, his spirit. Love him more and better. Know him more and better. Listen to him more and better so that more and better you can obey him instantly, unconditionally, sacrificially, wholeheartedly, completely, and joyfully. Just before we move on, let me encourage and help motivate you in the obedience by way of its contrast, disobedience. In 1 Samuel 15, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Samuel speaks to Saul's disobedience. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king. You understand? Saul's disobedience, the Bible identifies it. Oh, disobedience, my little flaw from this last week. Be careful, my brother, my sister. You need to know the word. Let me tell you about your disobedience this last week. Your little struggle where you didn't do what God wanted you to do. Let me describe it for you. It's rebellion. It's witchcraft. It's stubbornness. It's iniquity. And it's idolatry. When Saul disobeyed, Samuel left. And we read this of Saul. He went and worshiped the Lord. One calls this a dangerous practice in Christianity, the worshiping backslider, the Christian who worships with intensity while living in blatant disobedience. The instruction from the Lord, Saul, was to completely destroy the Amalekites. He didn't. He kept for himself and his men what he thought was the best. The rest of this story picks up 2 Samuel chapter 1. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and with dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I've escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me." "The men fled from the battle. Many of them fell and died, and Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." Then David said to the young man who brought him the report, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," the young man said, "and there was Saul leaning on his spear with the chariots and riders almost upon him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me, and I said, 'What can I do?' Then he said, 'Kill me. I'm dying. I'm in terrible pain.' So I killed him. I knew he was too badly wounded to live much longer. Then I took his crown and his armband, and I brought them to you, Your Majesty. Here they are." Back to verse 8 of 2 Samuel chapter 1. Saul asked the man, "Who are you?" The man replied, "An Amalekite." Do you understand? Listen, Saul lost his kingdom because of disobedience and ultimately even his life. What he should have killed in 1 Samuel 15 in obedience to God ended up being the very thing that kills him in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Listen, my brother, my sister, obedience can be inconvenient, lonely, and difficult. Obedience can be counterintuitive, especially in light of our culture's influence. Listen, but obedience is always better. Since it's not always easy to obey God, but my brother, my sister, obey him. Whatever he says, you do it. One says this, it's a lot easier to do what God tells us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the consequences of not doing it. Obey him. This morning, fourth, we'll hurry. It's the power for obedience. Philippians chapter 2, God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey him. In Ezekiel 36, "I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commands." In John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll do what I command. Then I'll ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit who will help you." 2 Peter chapter 1, "We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power when we learned that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness." Do you understand this morning? All the power you need to obey all that God has commanded you and would ever commanded you, all the power has been given to you by his Spirit, by God himself who dwells in you by way of his Spirit. Listen, my brother, my sister, yes, you can obey him, because it's not you. It's not your power. It's not your willpower, it's not your fortitude, it's not your, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." No, it's him. It's God in you that will enable you and empower you to do exactly all that he tells you to do. The motivation, the start, the act, the power, and this morning the results. The result of obedience, it's blessing. We'll get there in a minute. The alternative to obedience is disobedience. Listen, you can void the blessing of God in your life by not obeying him. Obedience makes the blessing happen. Disobedience prevents the blessing from happening. One says this, disobeying God is the same as telling God to hold back all of his blessings that come with obedience. They conclude, that is not only stupidity, it's insanity. In disobedience, we compromise Jesus' lordship over our lives, our very relationship with him, our love for him. You understand, there's no blessing in that. You read the story of Israel and Ai in Joshua chapter 7. They had conquered Jericho. Ai should have been easy, but it wasn't. They were defeated at Ai, and all of Israel is in an uproar. What have we done? What has God done? What's going on? What's wrong? The picture of Scripture is Joshua is on his face before the Lord. You said the promised land was ours. You helped us in Jericho. Now this with Ai, the defeat. And the Lord, in effect, tells Joshua, what are you doing on your face before me? Get up. There's disobedience in the camp. You think I can bless you with the capture of Ai when there's disobedience in the camp? Stop praying. Stop crying out to me. I don't need you on your face, Joshua. I need you up taking care of the disobedience in the camp. Take care of the disobedience, the thing that would block my blessing. Let there be obedience again, and I'll bring my blessing again. We see it throughout all of Scripture. Listen, my brother, my sister, confront the areas of disobedience in your life. Let there be repentance, let there be correction, so that the blessing of the Lord is not voided, but rather activated, become more and more a reality in your life. The result of disobedience, God can't bless that, but obedience, oh, He surely can. One says it simply this way, obedience gets the attention of God. Listen, my brother, my sister, you want His attention. You want His favor. You want His blessing on your life. Obey Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28, be careful to obey all my commands so that all will go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord your God. Listen, do you understand? Obedience doesn't just impact you. Obedience doesn't just bring blessing to you, my brother, my sister. Listen, dad, mom, obedience doesn't just bring blessing to you. Obedience brings blessing to your home. Obedience brings blessing to your children. One says this, the greatest gift I can give my family. Listen, dad, the greatest gift. Mom, the greatest gift you can give your family is to live a life of obedience to God. It'll have a generational effect, a long-lasting effect. James chapter 1, we read it a moment ago. Don't just listen to the word, do what it says. You do that and you will be blessed in all you do. Listen, the word brings blessing. More specifically, obedience brings blessing. Obedience to the word brings blessing. You don't have to ask. You don't have to pray for God's blessing. You don't have to wait for God's blessing to happen. You can make His blessing happen by obeying Him. You obey Him and the blessing will come. Psalm 119, your statutes are wonderful, so I obey them. Let's say it this way. His words are wonderful and result in a wonderful life. Luke 11, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke chapter 6, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? I'll show you what He's like. The one who comes to me and obeys my word, puts them into practice. He's like a man who builds his house on the rock, and the storms come and the floodwaters rise. You know the story. But the house built upon obedience to His word stands firm. In Psalm 103, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. It's a blessed life. It's a protected life. Do you understand? Listen, I believe it on the authority of God's word. I believe it that I can speak it over you, declare it over you, upon you, despite any trouble, even all the trouble you maybe find yourselves in. You will be blessed. Whatever you do will be blessed as you determine to obey God. God's word says so. God's word says that's the way that it is. The obedient life is the life built on the rock, the sure foundation life. Obey God, and it won't matter anything else. You will be safe. You will be secure, unshakable, immovable on Him. His protection will surround you. His favor, His goodness, His kindness will rest on you. Experience His love. You'll be guarded by His protection. You'll be filled with His goodness as you determine to obey God. Obedience brings blessing, simply put. Obedience produces maturity. Listen, maturity, dear brother, dear sister, is not how long you've been in the faith. Maturity is measured by your obedience. Like me, do you know some Christians long time in the faith, not very mature in the faith? Like me, do you know some Christians brand new in their faith, most mature, as they're constantly, always and only seeking how they can more and better obey the voice of the Lord. All that obedience does and brings, listen, it's not just for you. You have no idea what your obedience or disobedience could mean for someone else. Everything we'd ever say about Jesus, try to make people believe about Jesus, it all rests on how we live for Jesus. The obedient life is the life that glorifies God, and all those around us see that and in turn give God glory as well. Let me ask you this morning, what of the word have you neglected? What of walking like Jesus, being like Jesus, have you missed? Are there glaring differences between your life and his? What of a Christ-like love for people is missing from your heart? Listen, listen, my brother, my sister. What is the Lord asking of you? What is the Lord revealing to you? Listen, obey him. Whatever he says to you, do that. One says this, when God speaks, obey. Whatever he says to you, do it. Decide obedience before the command is even given. One pastor's prayer, God, the answer is yes before you even ask. Father, I pray. Lord, I pray it for me. I pray it for every single one of us in the room. Let the answer be yes before you even have to ask. We're going to obey. We're going to obey you. We're going to do whatever you tell us to do. We're going to listen. We're going to hear the voice of the Lord. We're going to obey. We're going to do for you out of obedience for you. We're going to serve you out of obedience for you. We're going to speak out of obedience for you. We're going to bless a brother. We're going to help a sister out of obedience to you. Help us, Jesus, I pray. Every single one of us in the room. Reveal to us the areas of disobedience. God, where we've got it wrong, where we've done it wrong. Help us this morning that we repent with humble hearts. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. The motivation, the heart hasn't been right. We're sorry. We've not been good listeners. We're sorry. We don't obey. We're sorry. We've rejected the power. We've made it all about us. We've voided the blessing of God over our lives, over our family, over our community, over our church. By way of disobedience, we've done that. We're sorry for that. Jesus, help us this morning, I pray. Help us to obey you. Help us to obey you. Speak to our hearts this morning. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit says to us. Just for a moment, you've got to respond to the word of the Lord this morning. You got to take a minute, let the Spirit speak to you. My brother, my sister, what is the Spirit of the Lord telling you this morning? That's what you need to do. Obey Him. Obey Him. Something's missing, my sister. Listen, you got to fix that right now. You got to obey the voice of the Lord. My brother, something needs to be made right. You got to fix that right now. You got to obey the voice of the Lord. We've got to get the obedience right. We've got to do whatever He says. Is the Lord calling you, my brother, my sister, to a new thing, to a new level of involvement, a new devotion to prayer, to Bible reading, to Bible study? Is the Lord calling you to a ministry, serve the poor, help the widow, the orphan? Is the Lord calling you? You have a lot of questions. You don't know how it even be possible. Listen, you got to never mind that. You've got to say yes to Jesus this morning. You got to obey the voice of the Lord. Whatever He says, you got to do it. My brother, whatever He says, I believe it. Right now, my brother, whatever He's saying to you, my sister, whatever He's saying, you've got to do it. You've got to do that. Disobedience cannot be an option for we, God's people. We must obey Him. Obey Him, my brother. Obey Him, my sister. Come on, pray for your pastor for a minute, that he always obeys the voice of the Lord. Come on, intercede for this church, that we always obey the voice of the Lord. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care the challenge of it. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care what changes it's going to be involved. Whatever it is, new life says yes before you even ask God. I say yes, Jesus, before you even ask. Come on, my brother, my sister, would you just pray that prayer? Lord, I say yes before you even ask. Before you even ask, I say yes. Lord, help us this morning, I pray. Help us to be an obedient people in Jesus' name. Now, would you stand? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? As under shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, I declare over you the word, the will of the Lord. Listen, the Lord bless you and keep you. My brother, my sister, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be good to you, be gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you, help you to obey, and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.